Often imitated, never duplicated. The one and only B. Scott. You're listening to The B. Scott Show. Get ready, love muffins.
I know that's motherfucking right.
Okay.
Welcome back to another episode of The B. Scott Show podcast. And we have a special guest with us today. And I'm so happy to have him back. We have Richie Sky in the house.
Hey, so good to be back in the building.
You know, I keep wanting to call you DJ Richie Scott. It's like, you know, do you DJ at all still? Is that done?
It's done. But you know what? I can't change it on Instagram. So I feel like, let me just keep it the same across everything.
Why can't you change it on Instagram?
I don't know. For some reason, every time I've tried to go back in to change it, ever since I got that the verification thing, let me change it.
Yeah, you'll lose your verification, I think, if you change it. Maybe email them and ask them, be like, hey, they probably get back to you next year, but.
Right.
So I'm happy to have you back on. And I feel like, I don't know why I look at you like this, but I feel like you are just like the Housewives franchise specialist. Like, you specialize in the Bravo content and you be killing it. So I was like, I need a refresher as to what's happening on the Housewives of Potomac, because this weekend, I do believe, is the finale. And then we have a jam-packed reunion that's coming. And I was like, I need to get a specialist for this. I need somebody that has been all up in the nooks and crannies of this show. And if you can, give us like a brief recap, if that's not putting you too on the spot. Just give us like a breakdown of what basically has transpired this season that you think we should be reminded of going into the finale and the reunion?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you for saying that. I mean, I'm just obsessed with Housewives in general. And so once I knew that Potomac was on the map, I was like, I got to represent for DMV, and we got to talk about this show. But season six, for everybody who is out there listening, I mean, has been a season filled with really kind of shifting alliances. You've got this whole issue with Giselle and Wendy and Robin, wherein Giselle brought out these rumors that had been circulating about Wendy's husband, you know, Giselle claiming not to believe them, but bringing them up ad nauseum on camera with Robin sort of backing her up. And Wendy,
and those rumors were what? Like, what were the rumors?
So the rumors were that allegedly, you know, that her husband had been cheating and had, I guess, a child or a girlfriend or something like that on the side.
Oh my God.
Right. Okay. So for me, we all know this to be true. When you bring it up on camera, you amplify a rumor, right? And I think for Wendy, it was one thing for the rumor to be out there, because she's even said so in the press. She's like, you know, I know what comes with the territory, but I guess she expected for her castmates to give her the grace enough to not bring that to the show. And Giselle is like, well, no, we talk about husbands on the show, i.e. they talked about Juan on the show. They've talked about Michael Darby on the show. But those were things that had...
They talked about her ex-husband on the show.
This is true. So, you know, I mean, the question has come up as to whether or not husbands should be off limits on this show. And with Wendy being in her second season, she's getting a taste of what a lot of the other women have already kind of experienced, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We've had newcomers on the show. Mia Thornton, who has come on full time. Mia has sort of gotten into it with just about everybody except for Karen Huger, who brought her onto the show. Mm-hmm. So she's shown some loyalty in that direction. But in terms of what we look for in a new housewife, we look for somebody that kind of comes in and shakes the table a little bit. And she's definitely done that. And she's happened to cross feathers with Candace, which never bodes well for anybody. Now, for those people who don't know, you know, Mia has had some issues with her mom. And, you know, the big fight of the season came because, you know, Mia was questioning whether or not, you know, Candace's husband, Chris, was getting paid for managing her music career. Well, that definitely did not sit well with Candace, and she went after Mia's mom, and that did not sit well for Mia, and they got into a nice little salad-tossing incident, okay?
Mm-hmm. Which was reminiscent of the situation that she got into with Monique.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Which
it's
was
like a flashback.
So very, very interesting that she finds herself in a similar position as she did last year, causing the women to question if she has really learned anything from the things that she's gone through. And so, of course, no season of Potomac is complete without a Michael Darby, sort of Ashley Darby, kind of, you know, little bit of a scandal there. And it's mostly to do with production focusing on Michael Darby's bromance with Robin Dixon's fiance, Juan Dixon. So we're closing out the season with some tension between Robin and Juan and some bromance action between Michael Darby and Juan. And it's just going to be a very interesting finale this Sunday.
Absolutely. I'm excited for it because I feel like, you know, Real Housewives of Atlanta has been kind of, in my opinion, it's been faltering a bit. And for a number of reasons, and I think a part of it was COVID last season. And then, but before that, it just seems like they're having a hard time finding new girls that really come in and do what Mia did. To Mia's service, she came in and she came in ready. Okay. Yep. And she was really definitely going in and doing what needs to be done. And I think that some of the new girls on Housewives of Atlanta missed that mark. But, you know, that being said, it is interesting to see how Candace is still so willingly saying crazy lowbrow things like your mama is low budget.
Right.
You talking about somebody's mother. And then she threw the salad first. I was like, hey, girl.
Two things you hit on the head right there. I mean, I guess the one thing was so suspicious that because we've never heard Candace go for a yo mama insult. You know what I'm saying? That's very Dr. Heavenly from Married to Medicine, Atlanta. So for her to kind of go there, it would just kind of raise eyebrows as to whether or not she actually knew about, you know, Mia's mom beforehand or not. She claims that she didn't. So I'm going to let it ride with that because I always try to say, listen, if that's what you come in with, then okay, I'm going to let you have that. But it did raise suspicions, but you're also right. She did toss the salad or some lettuce or lettuce particles first.
Absolutely. And then I was watching a clip and I saw where Mia then at another episode started going in on Ashley. And asked Ashley, she said, you know, is your husband home? how do you know? You know what I'm saying? Like basically implying that he is cheating on her. And I had Ashley for the first time on the podcast because we had been, you know, kind of supporting each other on IG and, you know, commenting on, you know, I like to post reels on IG because I'm so bored with social media. I literally find things that make me laugh that I post. You know, when you've been doing this as long as I have been doing this, I have to find things to make it worthwhile. And so I post the most random shit. And through that random shit that I post on my Instagram, me and Ashley have taken a liking to each other. And so I invited her on the show, but I did not give her easy time. I asked her the questions that people wanted to know about, is she comfortable with Michael around her nanny? Is Michael cheating on her currently? Does she trust Michael? What attracted her to him? I think that's the question. He's, you know, 29 years older than her, and she is beautiful. Michael, not so much. And so, you know, and it comes a point where you just have to ask yourself, like, what is it? And, you know, is it just solely the money? And she explains that. So people, Love Muffins, you're going to have to listen to part one and part two of our interview with Ashley. With so much that's being said, we had to break it up into two parts to hear the answers to that. But I did not give her a pass. And we also talked about colorism. Absolutely. Because that comes up a lot. I mean, I don't know if it comes up a lot on the show, but it comes up a lot in the discourse that happens around the show.
It sure does.
And I, you know, I want to make sure that I get it right just because I am a fair-skinned person and I want to make sure that I'm not, you know, engaging in colorism myself. And so that's why I think it's important to have the discussions. And she does address that on the on my show. But getting back to the finale and the reunion, what are you hoping that we get from the reunion? What are you looking for?
You know, I'm honestly, I'm looking for a reunion with no filler. You know what I'm saying? Like, we know we have Nikki coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quite sure how much of a purpose we're going to see her have, but hopefully she gets in there and really asks the questions, because the people are saying, i.e. Karen, the people are saying that she obliterated Giselle. So I'm going to really need to see that in action, because Karen also stated on Watch What Happens Live that production or Bravo or whomever is editing the show typically cuts out the questions that may show Giselle in a less than favorable light. So I'm interested in seeing, and Andy confirmed that those questions will be left in there. So I'm very interested to see how Giselle handles, you know, Nicki Minaj.
And you gave us some tea there, because when I was talking to Ashley, she did not reveal who the person was or the people were that Nicki Minaj went in on, but she did allude to it. So what you're telling us tonight, that it was Giselle.
It was Giselle.
It was Miss Pretty Lady Get a Pass herself.
Oh, yes. Yes.
But one thing I do know is that she is the favorite of the network. The network loves Giselle. They, even though I feel that Karen is the one that really is the matriarch of the show, as far as the network's concerned, it is Giselle. And that's why you see Giselle be the one that gets, you know, a lot of the little extra, like, promotional advertising spots. She's also the one that's on the show with Portia, right, with the chat room.
Yep.
And so she gets those type of opportunities because they favor her. And it's very clear on a lot of the all the franchises, they favor certain housewives.
I have a question for you, though. I mean, just you know the industry, but you also know the stars and the show and the people who are on these shows.
Yes.
Is that wise of the network to do?
I don't know if it's wise, but it's kind of like whether parents want to admit it or not, they have favorite children. And so it's just, I think certain people's personalities and certain people's or how network executives have been trained as to what are the qualities that make certain people more, let's just be honest, more valuable than others. And I think they show favor to people that they view as being more valuable. And I think you can see how much they favor one over the other depending upon the opportunities they get and or what they can get away with. And I think that that's actually a good question. No, I don't know. I don't know whether it's wise or not. I think it's just the reality. I think that people, you know, kind of like I was going through a situation, not entertainment, but it was just one of my friend's men that he was dating, one of his boyfriend or something, couldn't understand why I didn't really, you know, like him too much. And it is what we call in the South. It's like, I didn't take a liking to you. It just didn't work. I mean, it's no shade. It ain't like you a bad person or anything. I just didn't like you that much.
Right.
You know, it's like some people you like and some people you don't. And I think network executives have that same type of interaction with certain people. And then also based upon how these people interact with them. I believe that certain people know the game of entertainment and these franchises, and they come in with their game face on, they play it well, and they do their job, and they make it easy for the executives, and the executives really appreciate that. And the ones that come in and get ahead of themselves and, you know, try to, you know, buck the executives and the networks, they're the ones that they are looked at with less favor. And now I think just across all of the franchises, I think they're looking to definitely try to trend younger and definitely trying to knock off some of these big salaries that they have across the board with these different shows. So I wouldn't say that it's necessarily wise or not wise. I think it's just a commonplace. It's very clear that Giselle is the favorite there, you know, as far as Housewives of Atlanta. It's definitely clear that, you know, Candy is the favorite and Portia was the favorite. I would say that Portia on the Housewives of Atlanta or just anyone associated with that show, Portia is now the favorite. She is now the one that the network looks to. Portia has a 8-episode spinoff Portia has her own show, The Chat Room, where she's executive producer. Portia was also given the opportunity to not be on the next season of Housewives. So she was able to make her announcement. There was no type of gossip about her being fired or pushed out or any other stuff. She could have stayed or she could have left. And not many people have that opportunity. There are most people are, you know, you either, the network's like, you have to be on the show or you're done, or we don't want you on the show. And she's just like, they basically like, okay, Portia, we love you so much. It's your world. Just tell us what you want. What does your next steps look like? That's what they said to Portia. You know, you think about it and let us know, you know, and typically it doesn't happen. And I would say after that, it would be Candy, of course, because Candy's like the rock. But also Candy is one of the people that gets paid a shit ton of money. And I just think that, you know, and then outside of that, we don't have that many other heavy hitters left other than like Kenya. And I will say that the network, you know, from what I understand, that there was some truth to the network not being so happy with her being so focused or potentially not being there at the beginning of taping of The Housewives of Atlanta.
See, I felt in my spirit
that there was
something to that.
Mm-hmm.
And while I understand that there is, I mean, because you can't, if you're going to lose Portia, you're going to lose Cynthia. I mean, regardless, you got to have Kenya there.
Yeah. But you know what would happen? I am telling this is the truth. I think there's a possibility, it was a world that if something would went differently, if Portia would have said, I'm staying on the show, that could have potentially caused an issue for Kenya. That's all
I'm
saying. Yeah, there's a potential for that because the network was not happy with her, you know, because of that. They wanted all the girls that to be on standby and ready and available to immediately kick into high gear when they, you know, started taping. And even though, you know, several of the other Housewives have appeared on Dancing with the Stars, I just think coming off the last season of Housewives, which was not a good season of Housewives of Atlanta, they really want to get this franchise back in order. And it's because it was just, you know, it was like a little bit all over the place last year. Nothing was hitting the way it needed to hit. It was not giving what it was supposed to give.
at all. And I kind of understand what you're saying because, you know, as much as I personally enjoyed, I don't even watch Dancing with the Stars. I just watch the clips. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed seeing this different energy from coming from Kenya on the stage. There was just something about her on that stage that just it felt like a different Kenya, or maybe just a different side of her that I absolutely fell in love with. But I also understand that we don't want a repeat of last season where you have Portia all over the map, you know, and not able to film, you know. And so I think that as an executive, looking at it from the standpoint of how you sort of laid it out, we need Kenya available.
Absolutely. And they were perturbed about that. And, you know, and also probably some of their, you know, they probably have some lingering resentment from when, you know, Kenya didn't allow them to tape her engagement and marriage situation that happened pretty quickly. And so it was just like, you know, a little bit of that going on as well. So I'm really interested to see how it all plays out. You know, it was our exclusives. It's interesting that Variety wrote an article basically recapping all the exclusive information that I had been putting out over the last couple of months. I was like, what the hell was I doing then?
I caught that. I was like, no, wait, we already knew this.
Absolutely. And then I literally called Bravo and said, how dare you? And I was like, y'all need to fix this immediately. You do not pass go. You do not collect $200. You're going to fix this immediately because you cannot disrespect Black media like this. You know, we are the reason why people watch these shows. It's not Variety. When it comes to the fan base and people tuning in, it comes from people of color that are talking about it, that are discussing this content. And that's where you need to show your respect. And specifically with me, with Housewives of Atlanta, I have a long storied history with them. And I was like, it's got a push has come to a shove where you can't continue to go to these white publications and say, okay, it's official now. We're going to give you the official. Before it was just chatter. Now this is the official confirmation. I said, you will not do that under my watch. So I was like, you need to call up whoever it was that wrote that article and fix it. Because I knew it came from Bravo because it just, you know what I mean? Like, it was just, they didn't even say a damn source. They just said, here's the information.
Right.
And that,
right.
And that to me is entitlement. And so what they tried to claim was their exclusive was, you know, we reported on Portia's departure. We reported on Cynthia's departure. We reported on Marlo getting a peach for the first time. We reported on Sheree coming back. We reported that the new housewife is Sanya, the former Olympian. We reported that Sheree's friend is going to be one of Akon's girlfriends, wives, mistresses, whatever the hell you want to call it. All of that was us. And we put that out months ago. You know what I mean? And so it's just interesting to see, you know, how all of that's going to play out. And it really shows that Bravo is really trying to bring awareness to this new season and they want to get it together. And I mean, and maybe it was innocent they went to Variety like that just because it just maybe they wanted more exposure. But they fixed it. You know, I got a nice little blurb that said basically all this shit was B. Scott.
You know what? I'm so glad that you brought this up. And I'm so glad because I feel like somebody is going to hear this and they're going to understand that sometimes you have to fight for what should have gone to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that, you know, I've learned that. If, you know, as they say, you know, closed mouths don't get fed. But at the end of the day, we live in a special time in our culture where you can't just go around disrespecting Black people and getting away with it. White publications for years would just come and scoop up stories and run it without any type of credit and claim exclusive. And there is no exclusive about information that's already been put out in the community. You know, I mean, people, I can see how some people feel some kind of way with me, like my competitors and stuff, where they just don't, they want to pretend like they don't see it. But when B. Scott puts something out, you see it, whether you want to admit it or not, and especially in the world of the Bravo franchises. Like, when we put something out, I mean, girl, you know, I've been doing it for so long.
Like, we know. And we know where it's coming from. You know what I'm saying? So it's shocking to me that they did that. And a part of me understands, like you said, they were trying to get this out to as many people as possible because my thought about it was timing. We're looking at this as in you have Potomac is about to come to an end. Yeah. There Sunday nights is typically the night where you have your shows with your minority talent on them.
Yep.
You're not going to have anything for them, or at least the thought is that you don't have Atlanta, which is typically November or December.
Yeah.
So now what are you going to do? You're going to have to make the announcement about Portia. You're going to have to try to get people excited about Atlanta since we're not going to get it for a while.
Yep. And it's because it's delayed. This is like super delayed for Atlanta. I mean, we're not going to be, that means we're not going to be getting any new episodes of Atlanta to sometime next year.
And my question then,
because they just started
right,
filming.
And I know they typically film for about what? Between 3 and 6 months?
Absolutely.
So my next question would be, then if you're going to have Portia with 8 episodes, are you going to then do Candy next? Because we still got a gap.
I think that's what's going to happen. I think it's going to be Portia, then Candy show. Because Candy is doing like the OG, right? Her restaurant situation, kind of similar to Vanderpump Rules. Which is great for Candy. I think that's going to be good for her. But yeah, I think that's what they're trying to do. And it's going to give them some time to get it together. Because we don't know for sure if the girls are going to, if they're going to have what they need. Because we don't know. I hope so. Because I think Portia, I mean, you think about it, Portia thinks I don't like her. I do like Portia. Portia is hilarious. Portia has grown. No one would have ever thought that Portia would have went from the girl who mistaken the Underground Railroad for a real fucking railroad to be the witty, funny, vivacious, charismatic, reading everybody type of girl that she progressed into. And mm-hmm. I think that was in large part, you know, but just by being on the show, but also her radio show on the Ricky Mouse.
I was going to say that.
Yep. There's something about doing podcasts, and I'm sure you can relate. Podcast, radio, it really gets you good, you know, gets you up on your feet. It gets you mm-hmm. good at improv. It gets you good at filling space. And so Portia came back to the show filling all types of space and then doing remixes and call, you know, doing audibles. Like, Portia was like, that was her show. People were saying, like, you know, people thought, because I do have a friendship with Kenya, but I have a friendship and on some level with all the housewives, right? Mm-hmm. And, but the truth is the truth. And like my grandma used to say, tell the truth and let the Lord love you. And the truth is that Portia, she was a huge force on the show. I look forward to getting an update on her about what's going on in her life. Mm-hmm. And now that they don't have that, I don't know for sure how it's going to play out. I don't. I mean, I hope that Marlo coming back and Sheree coming, you know, I mean, Marlo getting her full-time peach and Sheree coming back and maybe the new girl, Sanya, and just different things going on. Maybe that will be enough, but I'm not sure. I was hoping for more new blood, but the difficulty is they couldn't find it. And that's why Drew came back. And Drew, I love you. I'm not trying to be shady. I'm just telling you the truth. So you understand where you at with the network and everything like that. You came back by default. It was just like, they were like, we can't find nobody else. So we need her. You know what I mean? We leave it. But Cynthia gone, Portia gone. You know, what are we going to do?
But my thing is, why is it so hard to cast in Atlanta? It's Atlanta. For goodness sakes, you have all types of personality down there, because I just think that I agree like you. We needed some fresh faces. Mm-hmm. That's what I think drives people to Potomac. We don't know these women. So when they come on camera, we don't have any clue as to what their background is. And so you're able to get an Ashley Darby with a husband like Michael Darby, who is so controversial. You're mm-hmm. able to get a Mia who can come onto the show and just cause chaos all up and through.
Absolutely.
But still, and manage we don't have to come that across. Right. And they don't mm-hmm. have that in Atlanta. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't want the drama to seem purposeful. I want it right. to seem like this is an organic group of friends who organically have, you know, issues here and there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, so we're going to see. We're going to see. We're going to see what happens. And, you know, I want to talk briefly about some of the other topics that may be going on in celebrity news and entertainment, as well as on LoveBScott.com. Just because we went deep into the Housewives of Potomac and Atlanta. But I do want to talk briefly about, you know, I think she lives in Atlanta. Waka Flocka's wife, Tammy, got into it with a CVS employee, and I think we have a clip.
I'm at Walgreens, CVS. I come here almost every other night. I know every person that works in this store. I came here to get some satin hair wrap and some Dew Growth oil. This lady sat here. She must be new. She sat here and she watched me on the aisle, acting like she was fixing stuff in the aisle. I'm watching her watch me, right? I opened the pack. She said, Becky, she watched. She's watching me so hard that when I opened this pack, she said, don't do that. I said, who are you talking to? No, I said, who are you talking? You can say, please. I said, who are you talking to? Don't do that. I said, if I'm buying this, I can do what I want. No, you cannot. Don't do that. I said, you've been watching me this whole... Pull the cameras back. You did. Pull the cameras back.
Okay.
Pull the cameras back. What you thought was I was a child or someone stealing, because you sat there and you watched me for 2 hours and I watched you watch me and I didn't say anything. Okay. Not one thing.
I work here, yes.
Yeah, you do work here. And I come in here almost every other night. Every employee who works here knows me but her. She must be new. But she sat there and watched me on the aisles. She sat there and watched me on the aisles and told me to not open. And it was the mannerism in which you spoke to me like I was a child. Don't do that. Why are you watching me from 2 hours away telling me not to open something that I'm about to pay for? And then she would tell me to leave the store. I told her to call the police.
And I did.
Girl. And she's still running her mouth.
Whoa. This is just like, you know, okay, how do you feel about it? I'm gonna go to you.
I'm gonna be real honest with you. I feel like this. I mean, if number one, you go there every night, I'm cool with that. That's fine or whatever. And you're going there at night, that's another thing. But regardless of whether or not she's new or whatever the case may be, the package ain't yours until you purchase it. Mm-hmm. So until you lay that card down, it's not yours. It's the store's. So you can't just be running through the store opening packages. And the fact that you have been able to either do that and before because they know you, it could be some type of, you know, either celebrity privilege or just the privilege of you being there so often. It's not your home. Mm. So, you know, to me, the, you know, whoever it was that was in the store, you know, the cashier or whatever they were, I mean, I felt like she had every right to inspect the situation because you're there at night and you are opening packages that do not belong to you.
Exactly. And then what if you open the package and you didn't like it? What you going to do? Put it back open?
Absolutely.
That's exactly what she would have done. And that's the problem. Like, you know, the thing is, like, this is like social media and sharing gone wrong. Like, she shared this whole thing, got up on all the blogs and everything, blasted this poor lady that's trying to do her job, and she was dead ass wrong. Like, she could not be wronger. She's the wrongest. She's like, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I say, be best? Like, she's like, be wrongest. It's like, I can't even imagine. Like, I can't imagine doing a video looking that stupid. And also looking that, like, that just lowbrow. I'm in there buying a, what's she buying? She buying a wig cap, just gluing some wig or something? I was like, grr.
But you know what my thing about it was?
I was like, grr.
The outrage, the amount of outrage that she had in this situation, you would have thought that she had been, like, wrongfully arrested for something. Mm. Like, you're going off about this cashier in the Walgreens or wherever you were as though, like, something had happened to you. Like, you are the one who are opening property. You're opening property that doesn't belong to you. I don't get it.
And I would tell you this, too. The woman in the background was not backing down.
She
said, I didn't say that. I didn't do that. She said, and I told him, call the police. I did. She is my type of lady because, you know, what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. You cannot walk in these stores or anywhere with a sense of entitlement. I mean, sometimes, you know, things happen to me where I don't like it. Like, I'm in the gym and I may be drinking my little juice or whatever, and then I forget to put my mask back up, and then you sure as hell, little white lady come right over to me. Like, she beelines to me, sir, excuse me, you're going to put that. I was trying to get the war of her, ma'am. But, you know, I don't pop off and do a video. And this woman came over to me and I had my mask down and I come in here every day and I work out and she knows I'm thirsty and I was just trying to breathe. And this ties into all the people, that, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, girl, it's like a misappropriation of Black rage and anger. It's like what NeNe tried to do when she got fired from the show. She's trying to say that, you know, Bravo and them were racist. So,
oh God,
listen, that is hilarious. This is hilarious. Okay,
I do think that what Tammy did is ultimately dangerous, though, because she, like you said, I mean, she's kind of inciting a riot about something that is very, very. It's so minute, but you know that her fans and people who like her, you know, they may be inclined to go down to that, you know, location and, you know, do some damage,
right? It sounds like the employee might do some damage too. So the court was like, let's see what's good. You gonna call Waka Flocka? You know, okay. So then another situation that people have been talking about, Amanda Seales. Amanda Seales, she finds herself in controversy quite often. And this particular situation where she's responding to criticism about her of her portrayal as an AKA on Insecure. And she said for the most part, I am not a soror. Okay.
I don't know why people keep asking me if I'm a soror. I am not a soror. Tiffany is a soror. Tiffany is a character on a TV show. I didn't write the character. I play the character. I'm not a soror. I'm an actress. And I'm playing a character on a TV show. And I think reality TV done really got folks fucked up because you know, it's like, it's all the same, but it's I'm just playing a character. That's it. Y'all know that though. But some of y'all don't. I feel like some folks really forget.
Absolutely. And in this one, I'm going to take this one, then I'm going to go to you. Okay. I agree 100%. I mean, she's playing a character on the show, and I believe that whoever wrote that character, and if there's any type of stereotyping or anything they could possibly be upset about, you don't go and be mad at Amanda for playing a character she was paid to be, and she's not a Sora. She's not running around saying that she's an AK. She's not running around saying, ski-wee. She ain't doing that in real life. You know, take that up with Issa and them in the writer's room. You know what I mean? Right? What's your thoughts?
I 100% agree with you on that. Now, See, here's the thing. I have been debating about this thing in my head since it kind of came out. And I'm like, why, first of all, why she got to bring reality TV into this? I mean, I think really what it is people get so caught up into the role, either that or they just don't like Amanda Seals. But whatever the case may be, I agree. I feel like take that issue up with the people who are in the costume department, whoever wrote this thing, whoever approved it, you know, Issa, the network, and everybody else. But to take it out on Amanda Seals for acting, for doing her job, she ain't got no is she not in charge of the wardrobe?
Nope. She's not in charge of the wardrobe, the words, the mannerisms, or anything pertaining to her character. She comes there and she does her job.
And the fact of the matter is, from what they say, I ain't watched Insecure, but what they say is that the letters have been on some of the paraphernalia, like some of the cups or something like that, within the episodes in the past, and nobody has had an issue with it. So when I go back to the issue now, I'm thinking to myself, either y'all don't like that woman right there, okay? Because y'all coming after her, like she the culprit.
Absolutely.
Or is something else at play? And I don't know what that is.
I think it's something else at play in terms of, I think people, she's another one of those personalities where either it's kind of like what I was saying to, to Ashley about Nicki Minaj. You know, either some people like her or they don't. And I think that Amanda is the same type of personality. Either people are like, I'm a fan of hers, or I actually don't like her at all. And I think that this probably type of critique is coming from people who don't like her at all, and they feel like this is a way in. And, you know, it's unfortunate that people can't understand the difference between a character you play and who you are in real life.
Okay.
You know, but it is what it is. Another person that's taking some heat right now, but I don't know if it's heat, but, well, maybe that's why they took off their shirts. Gabrielle Union, Dwayne Wade, did a photo of them with their shirts off. You know, Gabrielle, I think she was covering her tatas. And Dwayne was just kind of back there behind her. And, I don't really have any words. It was just more, it's like, okay, I'm happy that you are confident in who you are and your relationship, and you want us to see it and see everything for what it is. You know, it was giving. I don't know if it was what it was supposed to give, but it was there. And it was like, I was like, what is happening here? It's like, but they have these moments. And Gabrielle knows I love her. Honest to God, I love her to death. But her and Dwayne Wade, they have these little moments like, well, like, you should have kept that one for yourself.
Yeah. So
y'all should have, you know, pinged that back and forth. But look what we did. Look what we nasty. Let's go fuck. You know what I mean? Y'all can do that. But we didn't need to beat it. You know what I mean? It makes me feel like, did she make a mistake? Was she posted at the wrong place? You know what I mean? It's like, I mean, no lie. I swear to God. What's your thought?
So I just wonder sometimes, like, with the two of them, I'm just going to say it. Mm-hmm. Are some of these things done just for social media, sort of like notoriety, or like to be kind of like to have a viral moment? You know, what is it? Because I guess in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, I don't know a lot of couples that are out there just sitting around plotting like, you know what I think we should do? No shirts. That's it.
So you and your husband or your, have y'all married? Are y'all married yet?
Yep.
Okay, well, you and your husband, y'all don't be thinking, y'all don't be doing that? Y'all be like, no shirt, no pants.
No, no.
Beans and Franks, that's what y'all gonna get, some beans and Franks.
I mean, you know, if I feel like if either one of us posts a photo of each other, it's just like something like either that's meaningful to us, mm-hmm. or just a nice little moment that I thought was like a nice thing to share. But I'm not really I'm not putting my relationship out on the forefront, because I prefer whatever I do on social media, it should be just really focused on what I'm doing.
Absolutely. I would agree to that. And also, I mean, I am a firm believer now, to be honest, that I keep, for example, the last person I was talking to, nobody saw his ass. And I was happy that nobody saw his ass, because he's no longer here.
He can no longer be traced back to
me. He can no longer be traced back to me. And none of them really can be. There's been some whispers of things, but nothing has been verified bona fide. There has been no evidence of anybody, you know, tending my pasture. So that's all I got to say, because then when I mean, but that's how I am. So sometimes I try to not be so critical of other people who share, and that's who they are, maybe in their life and their right. relationship. But for me, I just wouldn't open it up to that, you know, type of critique. But it surfaced the risk of coming across as bored. Like, just bored at home. Like, you just, like, you know.
You ain't got nothing else to do.
You ain't got nothing else to do. Why don't y'all get the fucking? If you feeling like that, if you won't, you know what I mean? If he's behind you and your titties out, I mean, girl, get it. That's what I would honestly, be doing. And I don't need no pictures after, you know what I mean? They need somebody, after that, they need to be somewhere asleep.
Honestly, in my mind, I feel like she should have a whole plate of things to do. She coming right. out with books. I feel like she need to be having like her own. She might even have her own podcast by now. I don't know. But do something like that. I feel like the two of them sit down and talk. You know what I mean? Because
they're like, what are we going to do to fuck with these people? And it works because we're right here doing it, you know? Well, you know, I want to thank you so much for stopping by tonight. You are always a delight. And I want you to give you the opportunity to big up all the things you have going on. I know you have a podcast, one show. I know you have your YouTube channel. I know you're appearing on the local televisions in the D.C. Potomac area. I want people to know where they can find you, because I know they're going to be like, where can we find him? I love his voice.
Okay, so very exciting news. I just launched a supplement brand. It'll be out this weekend.
Come on, supplement.
It's called Emirin. We're doing sea moss capsules. We're doing organic green superfood. It's all healthy stuff.
You have to send me some.
I will definitely do.
But that sounds like it's going to make me shit. So is it going to make me shit?
Well,
because I'm going to wake up with bubble guts.
It's soothing.
Okay.
It's
going to calm my bowels. It's going to make me.
It's going to calm them.
It's going to make them just flop out. It's no struggle. Just la 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 la. Okay.
I like that. I'm going to use that actually from now on. It's no longer going to be a struggle.
Okay. Okay. So you have all the superfoods.
I have the superfoods, yes, and the sea moss capsules, because I know a lot of people don't like the taste and the consistency of sea moss.
Mm-hmm. I tried it once. I said, oh, no, it's not for me. I said, I'm very health conscious, but that it was definitely not. It was the yuckiest, nastiest shit I've ever tasted.
Yes. And so that's why we kind of created this stuff. It's the website for that is www.emirin.com. That's Emirene.com.
Okay.
And then you guys can follow me on my YouTube channel at DJ Richie Sky podcast, DJ Richie Sky Unfiltered.
Yes.
And then you guys can also catch me on Fox 5, Good Morning DC. I'm kind of on whenever they call me, whenever they want some juicy recaps for Housewives.
Mm-hmm, just like I did. I said, honey, okay. I know who to call.
They'll give me a call and I'll pop right up on that screen.
Absolutely. And once again, thank you so much for stopping by. Love Muffins. Make sure you check out all of his goodies, including the superfoods that he now has in capsules, so you don't have to taste the nasty yuck. Also want to remind you to watch my show. That's actually, because today's Wednesday, we're taping. It comes on tonight, but I'm sure this episode is not going to come on this particular night. But my show comes on at 10:30. It's the after show with B Sky on BET, 10:30, you know, every Wednesday. And we have like 7 more episodes to go. So please support the show. If you love me, if you supported me at any point over these last many, many years, ups and downs, side to sides, please go and support. And I will say there's going to be so much more in store. I love you so much, Love Muffins. And until next time, double kisses. Mwah, mwah. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to The B. Scott Show. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Love B. Scott. And make sure you review the show on iTunes. And you can always find me on lovebscott.com.